Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. As we continue our journey through John, I would call your attention to remember once again Jesus' own words: "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will turn away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a promise. He has come that we would have life and have it to the full. There's such a temptation for us to think that by walking in the Lord that we are sacrificing, that we are giving up something, that we are losing out. The enemy of our soul puts that in our minds, that if we pour into the Lord that we will be losing out on a full and rich life here in this world. Jesus just gives us the word, "I tell you the truth, that I've come that you might have life and that you would have that life to the very fullest." In other words, the best life that you can possibly live will be the life that you live in Christ Jesus. Now the world and the enemy of your soul will tell you differently. You and I have a choice as to whether we will listen to the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus, and dig into him, or whether we'll chase after the world. I would encourage you to look at the end result of the world's chasing. As you see the lives that are broken, ruined. I saw yesterday or sometime this week, one of those little things on the internet, and I went ahead and chased it. The richest athletes, looking at it in curiosity. It actually went through the list of all of the athletes and all the money that they made and all the ones who are in bankruptcy now. Mike Tyson, who made $600 million in his fight career, and right now he's $10 million in the hole to the IRS? You know, many of these stars and individuals, you know, they're shining so brightly. I can't remember, I'm trying to get it in my mind, but the name doesn't come to me right now. But one of the actors who has done 70 films, that if I were to call out names, you would recognize all of the names. And he is $11 million in the red. You know, in this world, there is nothing but tribulation and sorrow. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. This text is a continuation in the beginning part. It is a continuation of Jesus' interaction and discussion with the Pharisees that we looked at last week around the man who was born blind and was healed. So this tags right onto that portion. And in here, and in this text that we're going to look at this morning for a few moments, he uses two word pictures, or as the scripture calls it, figures of speech, that give us a picture of Jesus and who he is to us. Now, you remember what I read to you earlier. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He wants to show us how to live our lives by the life that he lived and the person who he is. His person gives benefit to our lives. So knowing about Jesus and listening to Jesus is the way that you and I live to the fullest in our lives. It's when we hear and then don't walk in it that sorrow rises. There's nothing, well, I'll say it, there's nothing worse than a person who knows the truth and doesn't walk in the truth. It's a sad predicament to be in, folks. Because you will almost always blame somebody else for your not walking in that truth. We love transference. We love to put our guilt, our shame, our disobedience off onto someone else. Own your life. And realize that Jesus is willing, if you will allow him, to take up the mantle of your life and to lead you in the way that you should go. We can fight him, or we can walk with him. The first word picture is found here in the portion that I read to you. Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. For a couple of moments, I want us to investigate this out of the midst of the passage here. Because he says to us, I am the gate. And the word there can be interpreted as door or gate. And in some translations, it says, I am the door. So that's the picture. A gate, a door. I am the way in. The nature of the door of a door is this. How many have ever seen a door? Some of you have never seen a door? Okay, here we go. That's a door. A door is made in the size and shape of those who will enter through it. Is that profound? Some of you that may be on the larger side, you may think, well, not every door is made to my liking. But I guarantee you, if you build a house, you will build the door big enough for you to go through. It is made and placed strategically for its intended purpose. Jesus was made like a man to give men access to all that God has prepared in his house. God has made magnificent things for those who belong to him. Treasures beyond any understanding. Things of beauty, things of grace, things of peace, things of joy. And he has put them, if you will, in his house, in his presence. And Jesus came as the door to all of those things. Can you see it? He is saying to us, I want you to come in. I want you to enjoy everything that I have prepared for you. I want you to live in my presence and to enjoy all the glory of my presence and the things that I have prepared. But you need to come in the door. You see, a door is necessary. Picture, if you will, your house. Are you ready? Come on. How many have your house or your apartment where you live? Picture it in your mind. Can you see it? Okay, now take the doors off. It changes the house, doesn't it? I mean, not just aesthetically, not just the way that it looks, but it changes the whole reality of the house if you remove the doors. You see, doors and gates are installed for a reason. They're there to guard and keep out the unwanted. Hello? And to allow those who with granted access to enter. How many have a key to my house? I've been needing to ask this question anyway, so how many have a key to my house? Many years ago, living in a parsonage, one of the first parsonages that we were pleasured to live in, we moved in to this place. It happened that it was across the street from the church. And of all things, Sharon is sitting in there breastfeeding our first child. And she turns her head, and all of a sudden there stands one of the women from the church. And she was shocked. Because she knew that she had locked the door. What she didn't know was that this lady had a key to the parsonage. And when she came by to see Sharon, she just used it. And she's standing right there in the room. That night, we changed the locks on the parsonage. Because I wanted to sleep in the house. You see, we put these doors on there. We put locks on the doors and we limit the access so that those that we don't want in the house can't get in the house. And only those that we've invited into the house can get into the house. Now, come on, make the application spiritually. Jesus said, I'm the door. To all the treasures of God. Now, see, somebody can say, I want in your house. I've got enough glass in my house that probably if they wanted in my house, they could pick up a rock or something and throw it through the window and climb in that way. But I guarantee you, they're not going to get into my house through the door unless I allow them. And when I was only here just a very few months, the church bought me a shotgun. It's So you want to be careful coming in uninvited. I had never had a gun before that. Now it's accessible. You follow me, right? Jesus said, I'm the door. There's a neglect of the door. Those who would enter the house by another means, Jesus said, are called thieves and robbers. There have been people trying to get into the treasures of the Father through many other openings, if you will, trying to steal their way into His presence beyond the way that He said they should come in. You can move out of this sanctuary this morning and you can go to places that will not hold up the word of truth, and they will tell you a multitude of other ways to get into the graces and the mercies and the peace and the joy of the Lord. But according to Jesus, in His own words, He said, I am the door. Imagine, if you would, somebody, you know, you're standing, ladies, in your kitchen, and you turn around, and somebody's standing there right next to you. Even if that person is your very best friend, and you know that you have the doors locked, and you turn around, and there stands your friend, what's going to be the first thing out of your mouth? Come on, you can talk. What are you going to say to them? How did you get in here? And they may say to you, well, I'm your best friend. We share most intimate secrets and everything. I'm your best friend. You will say, I don't care. How'd you get in? Oh, your front window is open. At the very least, you're going to scratch your head and say, what's wrong with this person? Probably you're going to say to them, hey, would you mind using the door rather than climbing in through my window? Jesus is saying, look, there have been many, many people who have been trying to climb into this thing through multitude of ways. They've been trying to work their way in by keeping the law. They've been trying to be too good to not get in. But there's only one way to get into the good things of God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Jesus said, I am the gate. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, church, listen to me this morning, because it's imperative that we get this down. Not just in these few minutes, but I mean down inside of us, because there are voices, loud voices, that are speaking out today and saying that there are other ways to gain access to God and all His treasure. So you and I are going to have to be locked into the Word of God. And when they say to us, oh, well, you know, I know they're going to be in heaven because they've been such a good person. You and I should gently and sweetly wrap our arms around them and say, listen, I need to take you to John, the 10th chapter, and let you know that Jesus said, I am the door to the treasures of God. Everybody else, in every other way, is thieves and robbers. Jesus is the way. By the way, there's individuals walking around our town with little white shirts on and ties. And they will proclaim to you something that is completely different from this. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. If you want a good scripture to get a hold of that will refute the arguments of those white-shirted individuals, just own the 10th chapter. Say it with me. 10th chapter of John. Because everything that I'm going to share with you this morning lines the Word of God in opposition to everything that they're teaching. The second word picture. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, I'm not sure who it was this morning that the Holy Spirit used in message in tongues or in a word of exhortation this morning, but I hope you heard what the Spirit said. Because I have not shared with anybody apart from, I don't know if I even shared with Steve, what it is that I was preaching on this morning, and the Spirit spoke that to us before I ever got up here, that He is the good shepherd of the sheep. You know, it pays to listen to what's going on in here because God's speaking. And I don't say that because I'm standing up here in front of you, because He's doing a lot of speaking apart from me standing up here. He's doing everything in His power and His desire to speak into our lives. The question is, are we listening? Pick it up, if you would, at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He's talking about us Gentiles. He said, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were divided, and many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? There's that connection back to the man born blind. Let me characterize sheep for you, because you are one, and I am one. They're not particularly fast afoot. I walked out my front door, and apparently my door jarring yesterday morning caused a rabbit to take off. Man, those little buggers can fly. They don't look like they would have that capability, but man, you scare one of them and they can move. Sheep, on the other hand, they'll kind of bump into each other. Generally, I had to put this in. Generally, they're overweight for the size of their feet. If the shoe fits. And they're smelly. And they're not all that smart as a group. They are naturally born followers of other sheep. So all of a sudden one can take off, and for whatever reason, the others must go in that direction as well. It doesn't matter what's over there. It can be a cliff. They'll just still head on that direction. They are defenseless and helpless to most situations and can easily be frightened by most anything. They cannot settle during a storm. Now I ask you this morning, why did Jesus call us sheep? It's funny to think about, but it really does fit. Now again, this is a word picture. He realizes that we are not the animal called a sheep. And yet it is because of those characteristics that we are called sheep. We have a tendency to scare easy. A single word can set us aflight. We don't settle easily during a storm. And we're smelly. Here's what Jesus tells us. He says the shepherd knows his sheep. Now, there's a very practical side of this, a very farm side of this, if you will. A shepherd who spends considerable time with his sheep knows his sheep. First of all, because he was likely there when they were born. And he looks and he sees their characteristics that make them different from the rest of the sheep, and he gives them their name. He learns their habits and their abilities, carefully not expecting more of them than they're capable of doing. He knows exactly. A good shepherd tending sheep will know exactly which sheep he has to look for the most. Because some are just naturally rebellious. They're going to go their own way. They're going to do their own thing. He learns by watching and protecting those who are prone to wander or rebel. Not only does the shepherd know his sheep, but the sheep know the shepherd. I hope you're listening to this. They learn his voice from birth. His voice will bring comfort. His voice will bring rebuke to them when they're rebellious. His voice will settle them when things come that they fear. It's kind of obvious in the scripture that David, as a young man, as a shepherd, sang and played his instrument to calm the sheep. The sheep learn the nature of the shepherd. At times he may seem overly cross with them as he's training them to follow him. He may even have to bring them to pain to ensure or assure that they will be safe. I don't know this to be true, but I have read and I have heard that a shepherd will sometimes, when a sheep is very small, if it is particularly rebellious and can get into trouble in the pasture where he's trying to keep them, that he has broken their leg. But it is said also that he will pick them up and carry them on his shoulders until that leg has mended every time they're making a journey. And in doing that, they not only learn that there's pain in rebellion, but that also that shepherd loves them enough to carry and to keep them safe. Jesus said, a good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. Now, folks, there's a real practical side of that, because if a shepherd loves his sheep and a wolf comes along or a bear comes along, and he puts himself between that wolf or that bear and those sheep, he is putting his life on the line for those sheep. Jesus said, I want you to realize I am the good shepherd. I am willing to lead you. I'm willing to care for you. I'm willing to train you if you will allow me. I'm willing to walk ahead of you and you can follow me. I am willing to lead you to beautiful pastures for you to enjoy. I'm willing to take you beside still waters that you can drink at and be restored. You've got to learn my voice. But know this, a good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And Jesus said, before he ever did it, before he ever went to the cross, it was yet 3 months before he would go to the cross, and yet he could see it in his eyes that he was going to get between humanity and hell. He was placing himself there between the enemy of our souls, between sin and mankind, and said, I will take a stand right here. And it cost him his life. But he laid it down willingly and he took it up powerfully so that you and I would know that we have a good shepherd. You see, good shepherd Jesus didn't end back in Judea. Good shepherd Jesus is still alive today. We proclaimed him earlier to be alive. He's alive this morning and he's still watching over the sheep. He's still longing over the sheep. He still knows us. He still understands us. He knows our rebellious ways. He knows the things that we don't even know about ourselves. The question is, do we know our shepherd? Do we know how much he cares for us? Do we really understand the sacrifice that he made for us when he took a stand for us on Calvary? The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Listen to me. Before I go on with this, you take this. You be David. Because if you belong to the Lord, if he is your good shepherd this morning, this is yours and mine. You feeling troubled? You feeling a little scared? You feeling frightened over the things that are happening, the storms that are brewing around you? Listen for the shepherd's voice. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, say it inside yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, there's nothing else that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah! We have a good shepherd in Jesus. Lastly this morning, two incredible word pictures. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And one incredibly profound statement. Pick it up at verse number 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. So now we know 3 months have gone by since the last verse. We were at the Feast of Tabernacles, which was in September. We are now at the Feast of Dedication. This is not an Old Testament law, but rather this is something that was commemorating the cleansing of the temple under the Maccabees in the intertestamental period. So it says, then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. As a matter of fact, they say it was December 13th. Jesus is walking in the temple under Solomon's colonnade. This was a covered area, so more than likely it was raining or snowing outside. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you didn't believe me. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice." Underline that. You don't have to pay any attention to what I say. Just underline that. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them everlasting life. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. And again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claiming to be God." And Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said to you, I am the Son of God? He is not just a good shepherd. He's not just the door. He is the Son of God. The one that I worship and praise this morning. The one that I am privileged to follow. The one who called me to do this work is a good shepherd. He's a good, good shepherd. He's the door into the entrance to the kingdom of God. But he is also the very Son of the living God. He and the Father are one this morning. The cry of the Jews around him said, how long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Christ? And he said, what's wrong with you? Look at what's going on around you. Look at the lives that are being changed. Look at the miracles that are taking place. And I shout that out to you this morning, church. What's wrong with us? Can we not see that the Son of the living God has been among us? He has taken away the sins of the world. And for all who will believe, their life will never be the same again. Do not confuse knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. You say, I know about Jesus. I know that he came into this world, and I know that he died upon the cross, and I know, and I know, and I know. Good. But do you know him? I said, Pastor, how can I know that? Because when he speaks, you listen. Who's in charge of your life? Who is the one who is leading the way in your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? And if you say to me this morning, well, I don't know who, I don't know if I'm hearing his voice. What is that speaking after what we've just studied? The good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. Come on. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. So those that belong to him are those who know his voice. You see, we can say, I belong to Jesus. I'm under his shepherdhood. But if we don't know his voice and we are not following him, we're not his. We are actually living and working and laboring under another shepherd. And it might be important for us to find out who that is. Because see, if you don't know the voice of the Lord Jesus, and if you are not following after him, you're following somebody, if not somebody else, at least your own self. And where is the guarantee on that? You see, I don't know about you, but I've made enough decisions on my own to know I can't trust those. I need to walk behind the shepherd. I need to spend enough time in his presence to get to know his voice, realizing that he is the Son of the living God, and that all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. There's none greater. He is able. And if I will trust him, and not try to sneak into the presence of God through some side window, but come in through him and listen for his voice and allow him to be the good shepherd of my life and to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because he's with me. No matter what comes into my life, no matter what happens to me, I know with a grand assurance that he is in charge. As long as I'm listening to his voice and following him. Now, if I'm trying to live a little me and a little him, there's confusion. There's struggle. There's pain in that. All I can suggest to you is give up and let Jesus take over. Used to be a song about that. Used to be a song about everything. I had a lady write me a note and said that. She's been listening online. And she said, "You have a song for everything. Stick around. You'll get the same way." Pastor Steve said, he was back there, "I think you got 80 different songs that they're singing. Before you know it, they'll get in your head and you'll be doing what I'm doing. They'll start surfacing in your life. The Lord Jesus will make sure that they do." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for the smarts to trust Him more." I know I changed it, didn't I? "Oh, for grace to trust Him more."